Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. There is something of an annual debate that happens amongst pastors about whether or not John the Baptist doubted in sending his disciples to ask Christ that question of, are you the one or not? Some pastors say yes, some pastors say no, some pastors say yes and then no. Some will say then no, but then yes. But in the end, the epistle lesson that we heard today is probably the best rebuke of it all. St. Paul says it's a small thing to be judged by courts or others, even by himself. He says he isn't aware of anything against himself, but he is not acquitted because of that. That the Lord is the one who judges him. Let that be a lesson to you today. No matter the judgment of the world against you, no matter even what you think of yourself, the Lord is the one who judges you. And in the end, as the epistle says, you will receive your commendation. This plays out in the gospel lesson today. The disciples of John come to Jesus. They ask him on behalf of John that bold and almost presumptuous question. Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? No matter doubt or not, John is in prison for condemning Herod's illegitimate divorce and remarriage, for speaking the truth of God's word about the institution of marriage against even, yes, the governing authorities. That Herod will try to judge John. But it isn't Herod's judgment that matters. That we may sit back and judge John's question if we wish to, but it isn't in the end our judgment that matters. That Christ renders judgment in his words, by his commendation of John in the text and right after our text this morning. This is what matters. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus the Lord judge? In the meantime, that question of John is rooted in the Old Testament. The promise of the Christ, the promise of the Messiah, that he will come with a fury, that he will strike down upon the wicked, and he will lay low the proud of heart. That there are many, numerous passages which speak of Christ's work as a work of judgment in the negative sense, condemning, tearing down, uprooting. And all of those passages are true. That Christ indeed is a terror to his foes. That Christ Jesus did come to destroy the works of the devil. Some of that we've seen already. But yet some is waiting to be revealed at the last day. Then it will become plain to everyone. Especially to his foes. Perhaps John was only ahead of his time. This would not be the first or the last time one of God's saints didn't quite understand the timeline of how the Old Testament prophecy meets its fulfillment in Christ. For example, we have at the very beginning, Eve declares her newborn son Cain to be the Christ. Or you also have Sarah convincing Abraham to have a child by Hagar because she thought her time had passed. Temporal human beings have a hard time understanding the scope of God's timing. You know this because you await our Lord's coming. And as you await the answer to your many prayers, you also know what it is to wait on the Lord. John's question, however, reveals something of us all as sinners. We may have doubts, and we will certainly have questions. But John does well, He does well by sending his disciples, his question to Christ. And Christ answers John by quoting scripture to John. The word of the Lord endures forever. It will not pass away. The scriptures are sufficient. The scriptures have the answers we seek as well. And as John needed, Jesus the Christ provided. The deeds of Jesus are there to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the promised one who is to come. So Jesus lists a long list of his deeds. He lists first that the blind have received their sight. And this is key because this is a unique promise in the Old Testament, a unique deed that is given only to the Messiah. No prophet did this. It was promised only that the Messiah would do this. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The mutations of genes, the passing on of disease, the decay of the body that sin had brought was being undone by Jesus. The dead are raised. That is, the last enemy, death, is overcome by Jesus. In these small samplings, as he raises people from the dead, the small sampling of what his own resurrection will guarantee for all. And then he says the poor have the good news preached to them. The gospel, the final mark of the Messiah, is that forgiveness will come. That the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of a gracious God, would come through the preaching of the word, of repentance and forgiveness of sins. He then adds, "Blessed is the one who is not offended in me." That statement of Christ is still true. But think of the gentleness with which Jesus sends these words to John. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to his cousin, to the one who one day, not too long before, that had pointed him out to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, "John, the word is being fulfilled. I am the one who is to come. The other things are happening as well. If not now, they will come at the last. Just wait on me to do my sacred work as the Christ." That Jesus is faithful to John. Whatever situation John was in while waiting to die in that prison cell, the word of Christ was given to strengthen him, to encourage him, to help him to endure. That's why there is the preaching of the word each week for you. That's why we encourage you to read that Bible of yours each day. That God's word is good for you. That God's word is always good for you. That Christ's words, confirming the Old Testament passages and showing their fulfillment in him and his ministry, are good for John, whether John doubted or not. As John was nearing that deadly birthday dance party that Herod was throwing, Christ comforted him in his imprisonment. He comforted him in his pending martyrdom. In this way, this fulfills yet another word that was spoken of about the Messiah, the Christ, that he would set prisoners free. That Jesus is doing his work as Christ meant that that executioner lopping off John's head actually was setting him free from all of his earthly labors, free into eternal life because of Jesus. That Jesus does not abandon John. He never would. In fact, he never could. Instead, Jesus redeems John. And it's the same for each and every one of you today. As those disciples were leaving the scene, Jesus began to speak to the crowd concerning John. He gives him his commendation that whatever was going on in John's mind, that he had been given this word of Christ to strengthen and to comfort him, to get him ready for what is yet to come. And now to others, Jesus in active obedience to the law of God, keeps the eighth commandment and speaks of John in the highest of praise. He contrasts John to the one who had captured John and who held John in prison, Herod Antipas, who was indeed clothed in soft clothes in a king's house and as steady as in his stances as a reed shaking in the wind, or as you would call it, any of the world's politicians. That John is not like that. That John is more than a prophet. That he is the forerunner. That he is greater than all the rest. And Jesus quotes the last prophet Malachi about John to prove it. And he says that no one born of woman is greater than John. And yet, because he was born of woman, John needed Jesus to be the Christ, that he might be part of the kingdom of God. Not even the greatest man on earth could gain heaven by himself, not without Christ. That John knew this. He taught it. And Jesus also taught it. So did it matter what the crowd thought of John? Did it matter what John's own disciples thought of him? Did it matter what Herod thought of John? No. It mattered who Christ Jesus is, and then what Christ Jesus spoke of John. You can take that with you today. Your own memories may remind you of many of your own sins. The world will chime in and it will pile on with a few choice words against you in its charge against you as well. The devil never ceases to throw the mud of your sins into your face. They all try to render judgment against you. But their judgment doesn't matter. Because Jesus is the Christ, and his word endures forever. And what is his word today? You've heard it. It's the word of forgiveness. What can undo Jesus' judgment of you? That if Jesus commends you, as your baptism promises he will do at the last day, what does the word of the world, the devil, or your own sinful flesh make any difference? Do you think the words of a liar from the beginning are more powerful than the word of the Lord that endures forever? You see, you sit there today. The water that was used in your baptism has long since dried, but the word of God concerning you being baptized still stands. It speaks comfort that you are God's people, that he commands the preaching of the good news to you, poor in spirit and despised by the world all around you, that your warfare has ended. You do not have to strive to take heaven by your own efforts. God is not your enemy. Your sins are pardoned. That God has already rendered judgment. That the blood of Christ is enough for you to be accounted as holy before God. That is his judgment of you. And that is how he speaks of you today. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The candle that is lit today is not blue, but it is pink. The penitential character of this season is just a little bit subdued today, as this Sunday is called Gaudete Sunday, that is, Rejoice Sunday. What cause do you have today to rejoice? You've just heard it. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus has defeated the works of the devil. Jesus speaks comfort. Jesus renders judgment. That you stand acquitted before God because Jesus is the Christ. That his blood has forever secured the verdict, and his word declares it forever. That rejoice, Christ forgives. Rejoice, you are a child of God. Rejoice that he speaks his word. Rejoice that today he feeds you his own body and his blood. His word cannot be undone. And his word cannot be overcome. It lasts longer than time itself. The judgment of Jesus is the only judgment that matters. The unbelieving world will sometime later in this time realize, but it will be too late. You know the judgment of Christ already. It has been spoken to you through the words of Holy Scripture, through the words of preaching, through the words of absolution, through the words in that water of your baptism, and through the words under the bread and the wine. That the mysteries of God have been handled rightly by servants of God and stewards of these mysteries to bring you the finished work of the Christ. That there is no debate needed. You are a child of God. That in his certain and blood-bought forgiveness, you have every reason to rejoice this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.